Welcome, listeners. Good morning, good evening, good afternoon, wherever you are on the globe. This is Nomadic Diaries, revealing secrets of life on the move. Our mission is to provide information that's going to encourage, promote, and educate travel, global mobility, and living in deeper and more meaningful ways. While you are enjoying your expat or your TCK experience, whatever travel experience you are in the midst of. My name is Doreen Cumberford, and I am the host, and I would like you to meet my partner, Sharon Fields, who is the co-host.
Thank you, Doreen. Welcome, everyone. Today, our guest is Lisa Liang. She's an actress, writer, producer, speaker, and workshop leader. Her one-woman show about growing up as a mixed-race TCK alien citizen toured internationally and is now an award-winning film on DVD and it's streamable. Lisa has acted in all media and is also a published essayist, co-host of the longest-running podcast on the multiracial experience, Hapa Happy Hour, and an autobiographical storyteller facilitator. She delivers keynotes on intercultural and intersectional storytelling. Lisa grew up in Guatemala, Costa Rica, Panama, Morocco, Egypt, and Connecticut. She graduated from Wesleyan University. Thank you so much, Lisa, for joining us today. And I hope I got all that correct. You have quite a story to tell us.
Thank you. It's my pleasure to be here. You did it all correct, Sharon.
Thank you.
We're thrilled to have you join us. And I would like to broach the subject of creative expression. That seems to be one of the things that is a constant beat. Whether you are an expat, a digital nomad, the sense of expression and telling our story seems to be part of the recovery, the healing, and our journey. Can you talk to us a little bit about why you say it's a psychic saver?
Yes, I say it's a psyche saver because precisely what you just said, it is very cathartic to express your story, to tell your story, to go back, explore, discover, and share stories from your life that you may not have ever shared before because people's eyes glaze over as soon as you say where you grew up or where you've been living and they can't relate. And so you learn to shut down because you certainly don't want people's eyes to glaze over when you talk to them. So when you want to fit in and everyone needs to feel they belong. But for those of us who had unusual lives in any way, doesn't have to be intercultural, what we learn is to censor ourselves just to get by. And it is enormously important and good, mentally healthy and good for your physical health as well, a true psyche saver, to decide, no, I'm going to tell my story in some creative form. You can write it, you can paint it, you can choreograph it, you can compose it. There's a gajillion different ways. And not only is it cathartic for you, it can be therapeutic. It's not therapy, but it can be therapeutic. People do find some healing once they just give themselves permission to share their story in some creative form. And especially in a creative form, you get to craft it. You get to decide which stories are going to go in and go out. You're going to decide how you want to tell them. Hopefully you've got someone facilitating who can help you bring out the gold in the story and bring out the humor as well as the pathos. And then once you share it, it can be very cathartic and even therapeutic for your audience or readers. I can't think of anything more self-respecting and self-healing than telling your own story if you haven't told it.
Yes. Yes, that is, I think I call it a journey of recovery.
Yeah.
Because it is so healing and we are all in the process of recovering from some sort of minor trauma or some sort of knock. And as you said, whether it's intercultural or from some other source, it is so important to address that. So my question to you as a follow-up is, you work with people on a weekly, daily basis to help them tell their stories. And can you tell me an example maybe of someone whom you have watched heal, blossom, grow, or do something phenomenal as a result of this process?
Yes, I've had, it's only in the last two and a half years that I've been helping people write an entire solo show or make enormous, enormous progress on their memoirs, because I was always the help you start person. And that is my specialty. I will help you start. I will help you get past your fear, your dread, your discomfort, your resistance, and make it as easy and pleasant as possible. And the most common feedback I've gotten over the 9 years I've been leading this workshop is, it was so much easier and more fun than I expected. Lisa helped me get past any writing blocks. Lisa helped me learn I can do this, and it can be, it doesn't have to be homework or hard. But I do have, I can think of a particular, I don't know if I should name her, honestly, but someone.
That's fine. Just describe.
Someone who began and just took like the 6 week workshop, I think in 2020. And then she came back a year later and then signed up for the 3 month immersive workshop, which helps you either have at least half a draft of a solo show or complete your draft. And she had a final draft, or not final, but full rough draft that she was able to perform for invited guests via Zoom, because it was still pandemic times. And watching her go from being terrified, being vulnerable and fearful of hurting family members, to owning what had happened to her, to owning what had happened to her, and following what Anne Lamott, the wonderful writer, says, which is, you own everything that happened to you.
Yes.
Tell your stories. If people wanted you to write warmly about them, they should have behaved better. So, you know, if we all want people to write well about us in their memoir, we're going to have to give them reason to write warmly about us in their memoir.
Exactly.
Just watching this person go from the fear and the dread and the, am I betraying people, to realizing this really happened. They really did this. I really was negatively affected. And then I had all these wonderful things in my life too. So it's not just a tale of woe, and tales of triumph and tales of, you know, confusion. Our lives aren't one thing. We're prismatic. And watching her get to the point where she is now saying, I want to actually perform this show for a paying audience, was mind blowing and wonderful.
So I know as a coach that I used to, when I was coaching all the time, I used to really enjoy my clients' work, sometimes more than they did, I think. When somebody reaches their pinnacle like that, it's sort of a sacred moment, isn't it? It's almost like it doesn't belong to us. It's not anything to do with us. And it's almost like some other sort of form of energy takes over, right?
Yeah, we create the container. We're the facilitators. And then if we make it as safe and honestly as brave a space as possible, we make it a place where they can be brave, amazing things happen.
Exactly. And it's, well, congratulations. I'm so thrilled to hear that people are having those kinds of results. And Nomadic Diaries, one of the reasons we hold this vision is to encourage people, all sorts of listeners, to open a corner of your diary and share it with us. Because in the action of opening that page and turning that page, we know there's benefit for not only you, the listener, but there's also benefit for everyone else who participates in the process, right?
Absolutely. It is as beneficial to the people listening. It certainly can be. There's going to be somebody who knows exactly what you're talking about, even if they had entirely different details. But the emotional core is going to be what resonates. What happened to you emotionally, they are going to understand, and you will make them feel less alone. You're doing a service if you share your story.
And why is that, Lisa?
I think because even though people who grew up or are living in some unusual way may feel like they need to censor themselves more, the whole world feels like they need to censor themselves and be careful and fit in and belong and not be an outcast. So when we see someone be brave and say something that we absolutely recognize, and not only recognize, but recognize as something that nobody else has shown us before, or we've never encountered it before, and it's truth that we know deeply in our solar plexus. So what's more validating? What's more affirming? What's more connecting? What makes you feel more like, oh, I am human like you are? Oh, we are human together. Oh, I am part of this humongous tribe. Really, we don't want to feel that way? I mean, perhaps psychopaths don't, but everybody else really needs to feel like they're part of the human tribe.
And this takes me back to your voice in your movie, which I have seen as the alien. And you, when I first came to the U.S., I have to share this with you, I felt like an alien. And at that time, Robert Williams was doing a show called Mark and Mindy.
Mark and Mindy,
they had this thing that they did. He had symbols and things he did physically, but he would say, Nanu, Nanu.
Yeah.
And to this day, when people ask me certain questions, that's what pops into my mind. You know, when I feel alien, like, where are you from? Or some other level of that. Nanu Nanu is, you know, it's part of the loudspeakers in my mind. So I've always really appreciated Alien Citizen and the movie and the work that you did, because it lands deeply in my soul.
Thank you. I'm so glad.
Karen, you want to take the next question?
I do. Let's talk about TCK, Lisa. Can you kind of give the listeners that might not know what TCK stands for? And you also have said, don't expect your kids to bounce. They aren't balls. And tell us what you meant by that.
Yes, thank you. So TCK stands for Third Culture Kid. And the definition continues to evolve over time. But there's a wonderful book I recommend to all third culture kids and expat parents called Third Culture Kids, Growing Up Among Worlds by Ruth Van Recken and David Pollack, that will help you understand what you're going through if you are a TCK and what your kids are going through if you're their parents. But they're essentially they're people who grew up outside their parents' culture or parents' cultures, if the parents are from different cultures from one another, for a long formative period. The formative period of their lives, usually because the parents are moved because of a job placement, but not necessarily. Sometimes the parents just have what we call itchy feet, and they want to see the world, and they're going to take their kids with them. And they're entrepreneurs or something like that. But what it does is, of course, show you different cultures and nations and the wonder of that. But it also causes constant upheaval that you get accustomed to, and you. One of the parts of the definition that people don't always use, but I think is very important, which is that you never have a full feeling of ownership in any culture, but you do incorporate parts of every culture that you encounter or are immersed in as part of your life experience. And it does influence your identity, but you don't necessarily feel like you can 100% claim, I am a whatever your passport country is. And you definitely don't feel like you can claim, I am a whatever country you might have grown up in the most and that you relate to the most and that you understand the most, but you don't have the passport and you don't have family there. And people will say, oh, you're not, but that's where you were the most. So in your heart, you're like, no, I actually really do feel deeply that I am Rwandan if you grew up for 10 years in Rwanda, but you know not to say that. Except to certain people who won't say, you're Guatemalan. I'm saying that because I'm Guatemalan. I didn't grow up in Rwanda, but that's just an example. So it's a long definition. And then as for children don't bounce, yeah, I don't know when adults decided that as children, they weren't people, But something seems to happen when people grow up and they decide that they are people and they have psychological issues that they need to work out. And kids don't. Kids are just, you know, unformed humanoids, and they'll be fine. And it's an adventure. And certainly many things about moving place to place can be adventurous. It can also be very scary, and it also teaches the kid impermanence, rootlessness, inconstancy. You are forgetting that every time you move, you have to learn new rules. What is this area? What is this region's rules? And what is this group of expats? Because if you're an expat, you're probably going to find the other expats. What are their rules? How are they different from the last expat bubble's rules? Your kids do too. They have to learn brand new rules. And everything's being reflected back at them differently. This group of people reacts to them this way because of the way they look or talk or dress, or all three of those things. Then the next group of people, kids, their peers, are going to react to them differently from that because of the way they look and talk and dress. And that can be really challenging. And so my thing I say to expat parents when they ask me is like, should I not move my kids? Like, no, it's not that you can't move your kids. But you cannot expect them to bounce every time you move them. They are not balls. They are people like you. And they don't have the psychological development of an adult. You learned all sorts of things as you were growing up that helped you cope. You also just have literally adult psychological development. Children don't. So expecting the child to be able to handle change with the maturity of an adult is silly, and that's a euphemism for what it really is. So I am sorry. I know it's horribly inconvenient, but as the parent or guardian, it's your job to make yourself a safe place and a safe space for your kids so that they can come to you and talk to you without being told, look on the bright side or you're wrong about the hard parts. Please don't gaslight your children, and please don't teach them that anything that's hard should be ignored. Thank you. That is my mountaintop grandstanding speech to all. And I know there's tons of wonderful parents. My parents were actually quite wonderful. They did a great job, I have to say, looking at my peers. They did a great job, but they didn't get any guidance whatsoever from Xerox, which moved us. There was zero guidance from the moving company. There was zero help from the schools. Definitely not the public schools, but the international schools did not help at all with transitions. So that's my speech. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you for sharing that, because that there is revealing us another secret to the
movie. And that is, that is part of the underbelly, I think, of the expat lifestyle. And I just celebrate the fact that it's coming to light. There's more academic studies. There's more information. There are training programs. I mean, you and I are connected in ways where we know that there are people out there who are seeking to mitigate this. But what you just said is extremely clear. And now, as a wife of a former TCK, and now both of us being ATCKs, I have had a lot of time to reflect on this. And I totally get exactly what you said, Lisa. And I think I'm still in recovery.
Oh, yeah. I wonder if we always will be a little bit in some ways, you know.
I think we will. I think we will. And I actually welcome that because I welcome the recovery, because the recovery means that we're growing, right?
Yes.
And a TCK becomes an ATCK or becomes an adult, but they don't stop being human. They still have all these experiences built into them, and they still have the good and the bad and the ugly there. It's just a question of how they choose to use it, reflect on it, and act on it, right?
And share with others so that they won't have to go through the same negative experiences.
And I have to say, because of it's part of the message of my show that's now a film, Alien Citizen, is that if you give yourself permission to speak about the pain, you can be so much more grateful for the wondrous things that you know, if that's no longer the thing that you're shutting down and pretending isn't there, which takes all of your energy when you just release it. Here it is. Oh, look, it didn't kill me to say it. I wasn't struck by lightning. It's okay. Then that sort of opens up the world and you get to see like, oh my God, I had an incredible childhood. And I am so much more aware of all the things my parents did so right, so right, so well, so supportive. So, you know, coming home was a haven in many ways from school when school was hard, you know, so, but I don't know that I would have gotten there had I not said, there were some hard parts and I need to talk about them now. And I'm sorry about who it hurts, but I'm going to put me first. And that's a thing TCKs learn not to do.
Yes.
And you need to unlearn it. Yes, you're allowed to tell your story. It's not selfish. You're actually helping other people.
And you're not just following your tribe. You're not just following your family. You have a whole life story in which you have some agency over.
Yes.
And it's time to pick up that agency and start speaking to your parents or your school or anyone who is around you who will listen. And it really helps if you have a guide, like someone like Lisa, who assists and supports us all in articulating that story clearly.
Precisely. And I so want every international school in the world and every school that has international students that's public school to have specifically classes for the kids to express their own lives in any creative form they like. It can be as literal or as abstract and metaphorical as they like, but it is so cathartic for them to express it and share it. And no, I know what that means if it's not literal, or to be very clear and be understood either way.
Exactly. Well, thank you for lending your voice to this this body of work. And we really appreciate you shining some of the secrets on for Nomadic Diaries today. Do you have anything to add, Sharon?
I'd just like to thank Lisa as well for her time and for wanting and sharing for others and helping others. Where can people find more? Because I know they want to know more, Lisa. Where can they find more information about you?
Thank you. It's been a pleasure. The easiest way to find me is elizabethliang.com. And then you'll see stuff about me as an actor, as an audiobook narrator, as a speaker. And then Hopalise Pruds on that front page of my website will take you to my workshops, Alien Citizen, if you'd like to see the movie, and my speaking gigs.
Perfect. Perfect. And we will have all those links in the show notes for everyone. So thanks again, Lisa.
Thank you. Thank you both. Thank you, Sharon. Thank you, Doreen. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you, Lisa. And goodbye, listeners. And we look forward to hearing from you about the show. Thank you, Lisa.
My pleasure. Thank you.